Hey, AWTR Male Spouse Squad, this is Maren Cheney, Army Wife Network Special Projects Coordinator. Each week, our mission is to empower military spouses, veterans, and family members around the globe, and we are inviting you to support us in that mission. After you listen to this week's episode, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review. You can then send us a screenshot of your review to info@armywifenetwork.com, or feel free to send that screenshot in a DM to us on Facebook and Instagram with our handle @armywifenetwork to receive a special in real life gift as a thank you on behalf of Army Wife Network. We appreciate your engagement and support. And now it's time for this week's new episode.
Attention, male spouses, families, and service members. It's now time for another empowering episode of Army Wife Talk Radio, the leading and longest running podcast of its kind. AWTR is here to engage, educate, and encourage you by sharing dynamic interviews, social media connections, news, and empowering military life information. Here are your AWTR hosts, your Army Wife Network Command Team.
Hello, listeners. Thank you for tuning into this episode of the Army Wife Talk Radio podcast, which is the leading and longest running podcast of its kind with more than 800 episodes. This show is specifically designed to engage, educate, encourage, and empower those that are living this military life journey. Whether you're a military spouse or you have a family member who is serving, wherever you are around the globe, we are here for you. This is episode number 820, and I'm your host, Army Wife Network's communications liaison, Sarah Robichaud.
And I'm Maren Cheney, Special Projects Coordinator. Sarah is so right. Our team at Army Wife Network wants you to know that you are not alone on this journey. We have the resources you need to meet you exactly where you are in this military life, including segments such as Resource Recon, Empowerment in Action, interviews with empowering guests, and so much more. Speaking of interviews, stay tuned because in a few minutes, we will listen to an interview conducted by Army Wife Network's owner and commander, Sherita Knobloch, as she chats with Judy Davis, co-founder of Davis Inspired and the signature Live Creative Philosophy.
Ooh, that sounds like it's going to be a good one. I'd like to take a minute to chat with you before we get started, Maren. I think it's been a while since we've hosted together. Why don't you fill me in on what's new with your HH6 life?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I feel like this is such a busy season and I can't believe it's already May. I don't know where the year's gone. But we are like in the process of kind of like a mini move, like not a big exciting army move, but we got a puppy end of January and we have outgrown the apartment life.
Oh gosh. What kind of puppy? So,
he's a golden retriever.
They do get big. Yeah.
Yeah. He's 5 months old, I think. And he's still like on the smaller side, but like he's going to be big. So we have been like searching probably since February for a house and we finally found one that has a yard. And so we just got approved. So we got to start the whole like mini move, which is funny. I never thought we would be doing something like that in a duty station, but that is kind of taking up our life right now. But
it was
literally the worst process to try and find even a rental. We had thought about possibly like buying right now and the market's like absolutely insane. So we were like, that's not for us. And then the rental market is just as competitive. So
yeah, I'm not jealous of anybody who's having to purchase a house during this move season. It sounds like such a headache.
Yeah, don't recommend it. Thankfully, I had been like hounding this realtor for all these different properties and they already had applications. And she was like, I actually have one that you might be interested in. I won't list it if you want to come see it. And like, that's like the only way we got our house. So thankfully that all worked out. But yeah, now we got to move again.
Oh, yeah. But that's like the life. It's a good thing that we're so good at it.
Yeah, exactly. How are things with you?
Things are fantastic, actually. We're kind of having, we're not moving this season. So we're having just kind of a chill spring into summer transition. I am finally finishing up homeschooling. Pandemic homeschooler. So it has been quite a journey this last year, but we're almost done with that. And then we're going to start our summer a little bit early and just kind of relax for a little while before we get back into a busy season this fall.
Yeah. Are your kids going back to school this fall?
Hopefully. That is the plan. I am not, patience is not one of my virtues. And that is something that teachers really need a lot of. So I think my kids will really benefit from having someone with a bit more patience than me. But yeah, we're looking forward to winding that down pretty soon and having some good family time. My husband actually leaves for about 6 or 7 weeks later this summer. So we're trying to get all of our summer crammed in early this year.
Oh yeah. Well, that is something to look forward to. Definitely.
Yes. Well, it has been super fun catching up with you. I wanted to move on and get onto the episode because, when I heard about the topic for today's interview, I got super excited. Sherita's interview with Judy Davis is jam-packed with great information and resources for MIL spouses and MIL, military families.
Yes, I know. I'm definitely excited to tune into this one, but we don't want to give too much away. So let's hand it over to Sherita and listen into her interview with Judy.
Hello, listeners. This is Sherita Knobloch, your Army Wife Network owner and commander. And for this episode of Army Wife Talk Radio, we are chatting it up with Judy Davis, co-founder of Davis Inspired and the signature Live Creative Philosophy. As an Army spouse of almost 18 years, Judy Davis is no stranger to the ups and downs of military life. You may have had the opportunity to hear her speak as the Direction Diva at a military spouse event, or perhaps you read her original blog or books, Right Side Up and Warning Signs, Is Your Teen at Risk? What you may not know is that in 2019, Judy became a full-time caregiver after her husband, Jeff, a combat engineer, suffered an above-knee amputation, a TBI, and other injuries in an explosive blast while training in Washington State. Together, the couple not only found unique ways to deal with the challenges of navigating this unfamiliar territory, but they now share those skills, art, and timely advice with others in an effort to help them stress less at davisinspired.com. Judy, welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. Looking forward to getting an update from you and chatting about your recent life experiences.
Thank you so much for having us, Rita. I am just excited to be here and, you know, hopefully we'll be able to, you know, share some information that'll help your listeners, because that's what I'm all about, is making a difference to Army wives all over.
Most definitely. It certainly sounds like you've been on quite the journey over years as a military spouse, and especially within the last 2 years. So I'd love to take things, just rewind back to the beginning and start from there at for this moment. You have an interesting story about becoming a military family. Would you share that with us?
Sure. You know, I never, ever thought that I would be a military spouse. That was not something that I had ever thought of. I have family members. My father was in the Air Force for a few years. No one was career military, though. Mm-hmm. So when I met my husband back, almost 31 years now, I mean, I just aged.
Wow. Right there. That's awesome. That's so good.
Yeah. But when we met, you know, he had been out of the service for a couple of months. He was in for 4 years. So we got married and had, you know, our life. We raised our children. He was in corporate America as a plant manager. And there was never really that discussion of going back in the military, but I could see every single time a conflict happened, you know, 9/11, you could see the pull. And one day he just came home on a Friday evening and said, I'm done with corporate. I am sick of this whole thing. And I'm like, well, we have children going to college soon. What are you going to do? Right. And he just goes, well, I want to put my uniform back on and serve. And so after a lot of discussion, you know, packed up the car, and next thing you know, we were on our way to our first duty station, which was Fort Bliss, Texas. So culture shock, the whole nine yards. But, you know, and he decided to come back in as a combat engineer. And, you know, it's where he's supposed to be. You know, he's supposed to be a career military person. I never knew it until we were 2 feet in, but, and we kind of learned to adapt. And when I wrote Right Side Up, it was all the screw ups because I had no clue what I was doing. And so that's where that whole book came about, because it was just sharing all the lessons I learned in those first couple of years, because I was clueless. Mm. So, you know, now fast forward 18 years later, and here we are almost at the end of our career. So it's been a ride for sure.
Absolutely. I can only imagine how many military spouses identify a little bit with your story of just, we didn't plan to be military spouses. Just a few episodes ago, the hosts were talking about, like, I didn't want to marry a soldier. And I personally, that wasn't on my radar. You know, I didn't go looking for it. And that's just how it happened. And of course, now, probably much like you, you wouldn't change a thing, because we've been so blessed to walk alongside our service members through the ups and the downs, trying to get it right side up when we got it upside down,
right,
in order to edify and help other military spouses in the process.
Right. No, I was just going to say exactly what you're saying. I mean, I don't think anyone, you know, you hear that saying when people say, oh, well, they knew what they were getting into.
Hogwash. No.
Nobody impossible. Knows what they're getting into. It is impossible. 100%. You can't know, because it changes every single minute. And that's just the way it is in this life. Mm-hmm. You can prepare for one thing and tomorrow everything changes. And that's just the realistic view of our life in a snapshot. You know, mm-hmm. nothing will stay the same.
I feel like you probably really, really lived that experience the last couple of years with things are going one way and the next minute it all changed.
Yeah,
in a different definitely. Direction that you couldn't have planned for. Would you be able to tell us a little bit more about your life before Jeff's injury?
Yeah, you know, I was like you, I have been an entrepreneur forever. Prior to military, I worked with small business owners, helping them kind of find balance in their life and be more productive and things like that. And so when we came in, I had to shift and pivot and figure out where I kind of fit in and where my career would be as a military family. And so I just started to share our story and started to help other military spouses. And I saw this huge need for help with the emotional side of things. Mm. There was tons of information on logistics, mm-hmm. but no one was talking about the emotional impact that being a military spouse comes with. And so I kind of found that niche and started, you know, helping with the emotional side of military life. And that's kind of where I started speaking and working with families. I did a lot of things with suicide prevention with teens and young adults and our Mighty Parenting podcast. And, you know, in addition to doing the speaking and empowering of military spouses. So, you know, it's that kind of stuff all was what I was doing prior to Jeff getting injured, and it all stopped. You know, I had to, once again, pivot. You know, I think military spouses are so good at that, whether we want to be or not. It's like we learn that skill really quickly on how to pivot when things change. And, you know, even though we had this life beforehand and Jeff was, you know, combat engineer and doing the whole deployment thing and working thing and, you know, lots of field time. So our life was just a very typical Army family. And then, you know, April 9th came along and everything changed again.
I can't even imagine just the, you know, the pivoting that was required after that fateful day in April 2019. Can you tell us a little bit more about that day and what has changed in your life since then?
Yeah, you know, one, thanks for letting us share the story, because I think it's one that I know I didn't think about. And being a military spouse, we know that what our spouses do is inherently dangerous. You know, that's just the nature of the game. And I almost felt like when they were deployed, you expect that you could get that knock on the door. You expect that there could be more danger, right? And you kind of are prepared mentally for that. That wasn't the case for Jeff's injury. They were actually they were doing training for deployment, and he was hit by a charge that went off. They were doing explosive charges, and, you know, they blew the charge, and I don't know if something didn't sound right or whatever, but he decided to keep all the soldiers back, and he went to go check on it, him and one other gentleman. And when they got into the pit, it blew. And so, you know, he was supposed to come home the next day. They'd been gone for about 10 days. And all of a sudden, I was just doing work in the afternoon. And all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door. And I looked out, and it's what we all don't want to see, right?
No.
It's that nightmare. It's people in uniform at your door. And you're just like, I'm like, oh, they must be, you know, asking for donations. You know, I didn't even
right.
think because
he wasn't deployed. Right.
Right. And you know, that's like the whole point of all of this, because I wasn't ready for it at all. And so I opened the door, and all of a sudden, it was the command sergeant major. And he's like, Miss Davis, we don't know what's going on, but Jeff's been hurt. And I can remember the world stopping in that moment. And I don't know how I pulled it together. And I just looked at him and I said, I need you to be completely honest. I need you to tell me what's going on and what happened. And he's like, you know, I said, is he alive? And he just looked at me. He goes, we don't know.
Oh my gosh.
And I was just like, okay. So it was one of those things. They were training. We were stationed at Fort Lewis, and they were training at Yakima Training Center. So, you know, it's in the middle of nowhere. Nowhere. And so all that they knew was that they knew that he had lost his leg, but they didn't know, you know, he was medevaced, and they were supposed to be taking him somewhere, but they didn't know where, because they didn't know if they could stabilize him or not. So long story short is they weren't able to stabilize him enough to get him to a trauma center. So they actually had to just stop at the local hospital, a community hospital. And that's where they basically saved his life. And he was there for 48 hours. And then he was transferred to a military facility. And then eventually medevaced the week later, medevaced down here to San Antonio to be treated at BAMC and the Center for the Intrepid, which is an amazing facility. So it was, you know, I don't know what else you want me to share about that day other than, you know, just waiting. Because they're like, do you want us to take you there? I'm like, you don't even know what's going on.
Right. What, and I found what do I do? Yeah.
Yeah. And these guys, it was interesting because they didn't know what to do either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were like, we don't know whether to take you to him or leave you. And finally I just said, I'm staying put until I talk to a surgeon or somebody who has hands on my husband to tell me where.
Right.
Because I didn't want to get halfway across the mountain and find out he was going to Seattle or find out he was going somewhere else. I'm like, we're just going to stay put. And like, I was the calm one and they're all freaking out. So it was just interesting just to see the whole dynamics of when something happens that is so unexpected and so critical, how everything changes, you know? Hmm. So that's in that instant, yes, you know, what changed and pretty much everything. I mean, I ended up having to close my businesses. My business partner took over some of them and other ones just closed completely. And I became a full-time caregiver.
It's powerful and sad all at once. You know how it's like it's absolutely a tragedy, but how you all have undoubtedly risen up from something that you could have never really anticipated, especially during a training event. Now, just a little over 2 years later, as a full-time caregiver for him, within the last 2 years, how would you say that your role as a caregiver has grown and evolved?
Well, you know, at the beginning, I was all the keeper of every hat, all the boxes, and all of everything. I, you know, was in charge of logistics. I did physically and mentally supporting him, you know, from bandage changes and helping him transfer to just helping him handle the pain and emotional impact of losing his limb. I mean, he's an above knee amputee now, so it's a little bit different. And so he had to learn to walk all again. So I took a huge role in helping him just pre-plan, because I likened it, you know, someone asked me during the craziness of those first 6 months, they said, Judy, what is it like? And the only thing I can liken it to is when you have that first baby, everything changes and you don't even realize it. It's like everything takes longer. Everything takes an extra bag. Everything, you know, when you go to visit somebody, your whole car is full, you know, it's just like that. You have to always anticipate what could be the need and make sure that you have it covered because no one else is going to have it covered. Right. You know, so at the beginning, that's how it was. It was just like constantly putting out fires, advocating for care. There's this, you know, and I might make some people a little bit frustrated when I say this, but there's this idea that I have that if something happens to our soldiers, that the Army's going to step in and take care of them. And realistically, we have to advocate for our soldiers so much more than I ever thought I would have had to. So many things fell through the cracks and we were checked on a box. You know, the boxes are checked and then they're hands off. They care. You know, I'm not saying that no one cares. So that's not what I mean. But the responsibility of making sure that they're taken care of really does fall on the service member and their caregiver.
I absolutely believe that. Yeah.
You know, yeah. And especially with things like PTSD or traumatic brain injury, things like that, that we were dealing with, they can't remember stuff and they can't advocate for themselves. So really and truly, I became this, the voice to make sure that he got the care and treatment and all the things within the Army system that needed to be done, taken care of, you know. So, but now it's very, very different, you know, as he learned to walk and has gone through some stuff and, you know, different challenges come up and he becomes more and more independent. My role kind of has changed to be more of a support role. I'm not taking care of his physical things, but I, you know, I'm carrying plates when he can't, you know, or if he's in his chair, you know, he'll be in his chair whenever he's not in his prosthetic. So there's, you know, challenges when it comes to that stuff where I'll step in or, you know, things like that. But the more independent he gets, the more my role becomes more of a support as opposed to the coordinator, if that makes sense.
I can only imagine how like fluid your role has been going from business ownership and speaker and inspirer, book writer to 180 full-time caregiver in a day slash advocate, because I totally get it. I think whether you're in the military health system or any health system, I think it falls to everyone to advocate for themselves or their spouse or whoever that support person is, just because of the quantity of people that probably go through these facilities. We know our own cases best and say, this gap has happened. You don't know this gap has happened. I need you to fill that gap because it's important. So I bet it's been super fluid. And now, as you mentioned, 2 years down the road, continued changes, developments, rehabilitation. Undoubtedly, it's been a very challenging journey. So what would you say has been the most challenging part of your experience the last couple of years?
Well, you know, I think the most difficult thing was dealing with the unknowns and the fact that our long-term goals had to change. And everything, you know, you'd take two steps forward, a complication would happen, another surgery would happen, so you're three steps back. You know, both of us were under the impression that, you know, okay, great, he's going to get down to BMC and the CFI, they're going to fit him with a prosthetic and off we go and life will turn back to normal. And over time, you realize that that really can't happen. Mm-hmm. So I think that was the hardest thing, was just coming to the realization that while things are very different, that doesn't mean a bad thing. I mean, so many great things have come from this. And, you know, our relationship is stronger. Our kids and their relationship with their father is stronger. We're able to communicate so much more effectively. We know that we can buy, you know, get through anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so there's so many blessings and incredible, powerful moments that we have been able to experience that had this not happened, we would have never known and we would have never come together. You know, we've been married for, like I said at the opening of the show, almost 30 years. And I don't think we've ever been stronger. We've always been great friends and had a good marriage, but now it's like, it just went that whole next level because there is now this bond that we have that is, I can't even explain it. It's just, it just transcended to a whole different place. Now, don't get me wrong. As a caregiver, there are days that I
right
losing my mind, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it. There's days I want to just slap him upside the head and say, "Oh my God, can you not remember you told me this yesterday?" Mm-hmm. So there's challenges with the TBI and the PTS, and you know, things like that. And I'm not going to lie, there are days that I'm just like, "Oh my gosh, I didn't sign up for this," you know. Right. But there's groups and there's support systems and things like that that are in place that you can do. And we're really conscious of making sure that we're talking to, you know, we have a therapist that we go to help us deal with it because it's so different. You know, we both mourn the loss of the life that we had planned. Mm. And, you know, because we can't do that anymore. It's right. just not physically possible. So, you know, while there's such great things, there's challenges, but you just kind of take them as they come and just know that you don't have to handle everything by yourself. And if we can't figure it out, there's someone out there that can. And that's the brilliance of the military community and shows like yours. I mean, you're giving information to help people. And if they end up being in a situation, hopefully not like ours, but a situation like ours mm-hmm. or worse even, they'll know, they can reach out to me. I'm part of the community and I can help them get through it, you know? So I think to answer your question, the hardest part is dealing with unknowns, and those happen on the regular.
On the daily, absolutely.
Always, you know? So
It's really neat how you really highlighted that you and Jeff's relationship has become so much stronger through this. It just reminds me of being like kind of forged in fire, like the mm-hmm. fires of difficulty. How they refine precious stones or really, you know, make super hard swords and steel. Like it has to go through this really, really high temperature. That's when it gets strong and hardened to face anything. And I feel like you all are living that and now sharing your story in such a positive way. Like, Judy, I am so inspired right now by your positivity because I feel like there's a big temptation there to potentially feel embittered or frustrated or just angry at this was not the no plan plan for our lives. But instead you've taken a completely different direction. So I want to know what has helped you get through those challenges and stay so positive in the meantime?
You know, just to be clear, I'm not always so positive.
Well, we are, you know, on the radio. I get it. Yeah. Look, there's a caveat there. I think we all understand that.
Right.
But
there are cries in the shower and, slamming on the steering wheel and swearing as I look up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I'm real about that, too. But I think that one of the things, you know, on the moment that I saw Jeff, when I walked into that hospital room and, you know, he just did not look well. I walked in there and I just walked up to his face and I said, "We got this." Mm. And he just looked at me and like a little tear in his eye and he just nodded, you know. And it was like in that moment, I knew that we could do it. I don't know how it was, you know, divine intervention, whatever. I knew we'd make it through. And so it became hunt the good, you know, mm-hmm. that's one of the resiliency trainings that my husband learned when he was, you know, in deployment or whatever, hunt the good. And so we really made a conscious effort to do that. And it worked really well at the beginning because every stumbling thing we could look for what was working and what we couldn't. Then you get into the long haul, you know, and then you kind of go, oh my gosh, you know, here you are living in fight or flight for, you know, a year and a half. And then all of a sudden throw the pandemic on top of it.
Oh.
And, you know, and then we both got COVID when he went for a treatment. He actually got it while he was at the hospital and then brought it home to me. So that was really nice of him. We share a lot.
Yes. Yay for sharing. Not bad. Exactly. No germs, please.
Exactly. So we were tired. You know, I'm not sugarcoat or anything. After all of that stuff happened and here we are still stuck, you know, this was about 6-7 months ago. We were just stuck in it and we just knew we had to hunt good. And we just were having a really hard time doing that because we just kept getting bashed. You know, he had to have another surgery and this happened and this happened. So a lot of like complications of his treatment and things like that came up. And we just said, okay, we have got to find ways to reduce our stress level, calm ourselves down, calm the chaos that's happening all around us that we have no control over, and just find ways to step out of the things we can't control and find ways to refill our battery because we were both running on empty.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, one day I was talking to my daughter and she's like, and I'm like, I can't leave the house. I can't even like go for a drive. You know, I can't even go walk around a store to calm and relax. Mm-hmm. She's like, Mom, you bought those little watercolors for the kids. Just go paint something. I was like, what? So I got the thing of Crayolas, a piece of paper from the printer. And it was like, you know, you see those shows, they go, that's right. Exactly how it was.
Angels are singing and stress is melting off.
Exactly. And it was this moment where I could tune out all that was happening and focus on all the good stuff. And I shifted away from the challenges onto the creative process. And all of a sudden, I felt better. And so I just started painting and Jeff started making cutting boards out of wood we had. And it was monumental. So we came up with this live creative philosophy of when life gets tough, creativity can bring you out of it. And being creative lets you take a momentary pause on the stuff that makes your life crazy. And it's, you know, I wish I would have thought of this stuff, you know, to be creative back when he was deployed and things, because it would have helped me just ground myself a little more and learn how to shift that focus from fear to something that makes me feel better and brings down the cortisol levels and helps to increase the good transmitters in our brain and the serotonin levels and all that goodness. Being creative helped me do that. So I was able to find some happy and my sanity in that chaos and sadness and frustration that we were living in. And it worked. And we were just like, oh, okay. Why haven't we been doing this for a year? And it was so simple. It almost felt like we were missing something. Like, did we just absolutely go over the deep end and lose it completely? Or have we gotten and tuned into something that was really helpful? And, you know, it kind of did. I mean, it just really helped us. So we just started sharing those tips and things on social media. I hadn't, you know, deleted all of my accounts. I deleted some of them and stuff, but I hadn't deleted everything. And we just started kind of sharing our paintings and the stuff that he was making out of wood. And people were just like, wow, this is really great. And next thing you know, they're asking us to buy it. And it was just this, you know, and then at that moment, you know, we're looking at, is he going to get med boarded out or not? And, you know, all of that chaos of what really comes next now that we're past the crisis side. So we were looking for ways to supplement and make money because we both would have lost our careers. And this just kind of unfolded slowly and slowly. And I mean, thankfully, he's been retained. His COAD was approved. Even though he was found unfit for duty, he was able to get a continuation of active duty acceptance. And he will be working at the CFI, helping other new amputees kind of deal with it. So kind of, you know, like I said, good things have happened. We're going to be able to help other families that are going through some of the stuff that we're going through or have been through, and help them find their way when it gets crazy.
I'm like speechless. Like, that is amazing. And that you found this outlet that almost by accident, and you're like, wow, where has this been? I feel like that speaks to so many people of why didn't we think of this forever ago? But now you're really taking it, running with it, and sharing your story with so many folks that need to hear it, whether they're going through a journey of being a caregiver or transitioning within or without of the service or deployment or PCSing or anything. Because mil-spouse life, of course, you know this, we all know this, there's always some kind of stressor, different magnitudes, of course. But just thank you for sharing about your journey, the ups and the downs, and your positivity. Your story is one that so many of us can understand, empathize with, and that your Live Creative philosophy is up and running and sharing it with us now. So we'll keep the conversation going in just a few moments after this quick commercial break. Listeners, if you'd like to connect with Judy Davis, you can find her online on the website davisinspired.com or on Instagram at davis_inspired or Facebook at Art by Judy Davis. If you missed any of that, no worries at all. It will all be in our show notes when this broadcast goes live over on armywifenetwork.com. Stay tuned for the rest of our interview after this commercial break. We'll be right back.
Engage, educate, encourage, empower. Advertise. AWN has many opportunities for promotion of your brand, service, or product, including web creatives, blog posts, social media promotion, giveaways, and podcast audio commercials. Email empower@armywifenetwork.com to get started. We sincerely thank you for your support to empower military spouses, families, and their service members around the globe.
Listeners, we are back. Welcome. We are continuing our conversation with Judy Davis of Davis Inspired. So right before the break, Judy, you were talking about how you kind of accidentally discovered this outlet of creativity with watercolor for you, making cutting boards for your husband, Jeff. So tell us more, what is the Live Creative philosophy?
Well, you know, it's really about being open. And one of the things you said right before we went to break was, you know, everybody in the military has different challenges. Some are, you know, more challenging at one time or another, and everyone has to deal with things they don't know how to deal with, right? Mm-hmm. And at different times throughout your career, it's going to impact you different ways. Something that would be second nature to me to handle today might be really difficult for someone else, and vice versa. You know, we all come with different backgrounds. We all come with different baggage. We all come with all kinds of different things. And it's this philosophy is a way of looking at things without being attached to what happens on the other side. It's really letting your creativity allow your brain to open up and to find a solution. Because so often when we're stressed out or we're dealing with something, we don't have the coping strategies to deal with in that moment. Mm-hmm. We kind of like tighten up, and we can't see the light through the trees. We can't see the forest. We can only see that tunnel vision, what's right in front of us, what we have to fix in this instant to feel better, right? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't work that way. At least that's what I've learned. I mean, it might be different for some of your listeners, but I've learned that the harder I push for a solution to something that isn't making sense or isn't going the way I want it to go or I think it should go, the more resistance comes and the more impact it has on me emotionally and my stress level. And for me, anxiety has always, since my husband's first deployment, anxiety has been with me along the military spouse journey, you know? And when I got into using this thought pattern and this philosophy of allowing myself just to let go and let creativity take over, it allowed my brain to look at things I may never have thought of before. Because when you're creative, it just opens different pathways of thought. You're trying to challenge yourself in figuring out how to paint this flower. And in that process of trying to figure it out, I am shocked at how often the answer to what I'm looking for in my life comes to me very simply. And I would have never thought that that would be the case because, you know, we've been taught put big girl panties on and move forward and go, go, go and get stuff done. And I'm saying our lives are hectic and crazy enough to find the solution. Pushing harder isn't going to happen. We have to almost go the opposite way and push less to allow the solution to come. If that makes any sense.
Totally makes sense.
I'm crazy.
No, it totally makes sense. I read a book that said, and it really impacted me because I'm a try harder, suck it up, push through kind of person. Yep. And then I'm like, why am I not breaking through? Why am I so stressy? Why am I so anxious? But when I take a step back and do something completely unrelated, whether that's art, fitness, even like peeling hard-boiled eggs. I had a breakthrough one day peeling eggs because I had stopped like thinking or stewing about that. So instead of trying harder, it sounds like you're saying try softer.
Yes, absolutely.
Find that outlet and press into that.
Mm-hmm. And I find that doing something completely new, completely that you've never done before, even if, you know, you've colored with your kids, it's very different than actually getting some good quality watercolors and some paper and, you know, or trying a whole different medium or something like that. It's a whole different experience to try something new. You know, here I am in my 50s and I'm like, I never knew I had this hidden gift. And I keep saying to my husband over and over, why didn't I know this when the kids were little and I was so stressed out? Why didn't I know this when you were deployed? And he looks at me and goes, because it wasn't time for it.
Yep.
And so, you know, don't be afraid when life gets crazy and stressful. And, you know, I guarantee there's someone that is listening to this podcast that's going through the mud right now. They're having the time in their life that they do not know how they're going to get through it. And I would just say, just take a moment and step back. Let yourself do something. Try something creative, whether it's coloring books or painting or woodworking or clay or, you know, whatever. If your listeners want, there's a list, I think I have of 80 things. They can go to the Davis Inspired website and get the Live Creative. And it's just a list of things to try. And just do that. Anything will help to kind of see through the weeds and give you something that feels good. Because when we're stressed out and anxiety ridden and just tired, I mean, right now, everyone's tired. They're tired of being home. They're tired of dealing with all of this. They're just tired of the pandemic, right? Find something that inspires you. And it's going to be something you've never done before, because I guarantee by now you've tried everything you've done to try and feel better. We all have.
Yep.
No.
And there's always might be something else out there that we haven't tried. Yeah. And when you find that thing, whether you're good at it or not, if you're like, wow, that doesn't look awesome, but I feel great. Like, chalk it up as a win. Exactly. Like, yep. I think that is so important, because I'll be the first one to admit I'm not super artsy, but when I get a chance to just create something, I feel super empowered, even if that's just organizing a closet or Zentangling, because, you know, I do Zentangle because that's a thing. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no wrong way to do it. And I'm like, sweet, good for my perfectionistic tendencies.
Yes. Good news. Yes. There's a thing that you should get with your perfectionism. It's called a Buddha board. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's actually painting with water and it disappears.
Ooh, fun.
Awesome. It is called the Buddha board, and it's like a moving meditation.
Cool.
And it's also, you know, like I said, there's so many things out there that we wouldn't, like, no one knows about. So yep. Let's just get in there and just step away from the stress that's our military lives, because the answers are out there. We're just, you know, we've seen so many PowerPoints and so many advice from people telling us there's a certain way to do it. Well, in my opinion, when a challenge happens or the pandemic happens or anything like that, it's time to shake it up and do something completely different, because it can't hurt.
Right.
And I was shocked at how much it helped us deal, both myself and my husband, deal with a challenge that we never foresaw coming, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just, everything changed, and we can, by living creative, we can help stay on that track of finding the good and hunting the good, because it's fun. And if not, we can just rip it to shreds and throw it away and start over. And so Absolutely. There's no love lost.
Absolutely. That is such a great philosophy, both, you know, on so many levels, whether we're in really stressful, intense times, or even just in the normal stressors and adversities middle spouse face in everyday life. Well, Judy, our time together is about to wrap up. Can you remind our listeners where they can go to find even more empowering information about Davis Inspired and the Live Creative philosophy?
Yeah, they can go to davisinspired.com, and you know, they can get all of our social media and everything from there, as well as that long list of ways to live creative. We'll be starting a blog. I think we've got a couple posts up there, but it'll be more regularly in a few months. And where we're going to be sharing different philosophies. And on Facebook, I've got a group called Art by Judy Davis, which helps people create a space that feels good. We talk about all kinds of ways to find and create a space that helps you stress less and calms all the chaos. So that's over there too.
Oh, such good information, Judy. So good. So good. And I'm thankful that you're sharing it with us and our listeners. As you know, our primary mission here at Army Wife Network, of course, is empowerment. And so one of my favorite parts of the show is to hear what empowerment really means to our guests. So as we wrap up, how would you complete this sentence? Empowerment is?
To never stop learning and growing.
Writing that down. Never stop learning and growing. Beautiful. What a beautiful bow on this wonderful gift that has been this interview with you, Judy. Thank you so much for coming onto the show, sharing your story, the ups and the downs with us. Your positivity and desire to give back to others is undoubtedly empowering. And the artwork on your website, is just beautiful, and the ideas, the 80 things to give a try for those of us who might be looking for an outlet is really, really helpful. We wish you all the best on your journey forward with Davis Inspired.
Thank you so much for having me, and I love what you guys are doing, and I love how you end your show on empowerment, because that's what we all need as military spouses. So thank you.
Really appreciate that. That's our content editor, Sarah Peachy's idea from I think a year and a half ago. So shout out to Sarah Peachy for tapping into that empowerment for our guests. Now, listeners, if you've missed any of this, go ahead, get connected online or check out our show notes on armywifenetwork.com. You can get all the outbound links if you want to connect with Judy or Jeff on Facebook, Instagram, or online to learn more about davisinspired.com. Let's pop back to our hosts and hear what they thought of our conversation with today's guest. Back over to you, ladies.
Army Wife Talk Radio is celebrating our 15th year on the air. AWTR is the leading and longest running podcast of its kind and has over 700 episodes in the archives. Subscribe to this podcast on our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on the podcatcher of your choice, such as iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or Pandora. Engage, educate, encourage. AWTR is your source for military life empowerment.
What a great interview. So thankful that Judy was able to join us this week to share her empowering story about her company, Davis Inspired, and the Live Creative Philosophy. Again, if you would like to connect with Judy Davis, you can find her website at davisinspired.com, or you can connect with her via social media on Instagram at davis_inspired, or through her Facebook group, Art by Judy Davis. Maren, what did you think about the interview?
Oh, it was such a good one. This one was really cool for me because obviously their Live Creative Philosophy is a huge part of their company. And we were chatting before the show just about how it's interesting how people deal with stress and how they handle it differently, because a creative outlet wouldn't be my first go-to. And I know you mentioned it probably make you more stressed, but yeah. I really loved like the approach and different perspective to give people tools on managing that stress.
Yeah, so true. Definitely having a creative outlet, especially when you've gone through something as traumatic as Judy and her husband, Jeff, talked about, having this outlet that is productive and positive is really cool. It's a really interesting outlook to have, and one that we can all learn a lot from.
It's now time for this week's Resource Recon, which comes from our band of bloggers. Today, we would like to highlight a recently published blog titled Schwartz Family Travel Essentials, written by our fantastic blogger, Alika Schwartz. For anyone who is gearing up for a move during this upcoming PCS season, this blog is for you. In her blog, Alika writes, "We're driven from Colorado to Arizona, Alabama, Florida, and even to Canada. Traveling as a military family is a bit different from regular civilian journeys, as we often move to unfamiliar areas and don't return to a previous duty station. With PCS season upon the military, I decided to collect my tried and true travel essentials to share with prospective movers." She set up her blog with a ready, set, go style focus on different supplies and essentials she brings at each stage of her journey. She shares some unique insights, so definitely check out her blog on our website.
This is definitely the right time of year to be reading up on travel tips for sure. And even if you're not PCSing, you're just going on a vacation with your family, everything that she talks about is super helpful. And, even after, I've PCSed five times, and I still picked up a few tips and tricks from her blog. And I'm sure a lot of her ideas resonated with you as well, Maren, with your, mini move that you just did.
Yes, definitely. I know it's kind of funny because I haven't done an official big PCS when my husband moved from Benning to Fort Bliss. He knew he was being deployed right away. So I was like, okay, I'll see you when I get back. So he actually did that big move himself. And then my parents kind of helped me do a move after we got married. So I am on the newer end of things when it comes to all things PCSing. So this blog was definitely helpful and just kind of preparing for the future. But like you said, the mini move.
Yes, that's fantastic. I've moved a bunch, and every time you pick up new tips and tricks, and every time you realize that you've forgotten something, that something would have been super helpful. And then once you throw kids and dogs into the mix, it's just this whole tricky situation. So having a blog like Alika's is very helpful, especially for first-time movers like yourself.
Yeah. I love that. And I also love sharing content from our band of bloggers with all of our listeners, because we can all be inspired and learn from one another. Here's another one of our command team members, Amanda McNeese, with her weekly Empowerment Patrol Report.
Hello, Army Wife Talk Radio listeners. I'm Amanda McNeese, bringing you this week's Empowerment Patrol Report. Today, we are showcasing our Army Wife Network Empowers, the Centurion Project, who was nominated as an organization for helping out military spouses. The Centurion Project exists to network and empower churches to strengthen and support military leaders and their families in their mission and the Great Commission. They currently have 16 churches in their network and host training experiences every trimester at different churches around Fort Bragg called Centurion Summits. They investigate and recommend best practices for PTSD, resiliency, military finances, and Muslim evangelism. nominated by our very own News 6 correspondent, Jolene McNutt. She states, I was impacted by Rich Culp, the founder of Centurion Project, through our church. He was one of the lead pastors at the time, but left soon after we arrived to start a new mission. He and his wife have launched the Centurion Project at Fort Bragg in North Carolina. They are working to build 100 churches in the greater Fort Bragg region to equip military leaders to achieve their military missions while also advancing the Great Commission. They offer individual coaching and seminars. Through their network, they can share resources, tools, and information to help lead military members to both lead their families and their teams with faithfulness and intentionality. Thank you so much to the Centurion Project for doing your part to empower military families all across the globe. Until next time, I'm Amanda Bicknies, reminding you that we are never completely alone on this military life journey.
Congratulations, Centurion Project. We will be in touch with you soon to coordinate our charitable contribution to your organization. Listeners, if you or someone you know is empowering those around you, head on over to armywifenetwork.com to nominate them. On our website, look under the menu for Get Involved and click the tab Everyday Empowerment or AWN Empowers. You can also view our previous winners in our Empowerment Gallery. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll hear from our wonderful News 6 correspondent, Jolene McNutt, who is bringing us this week's top stories and need to know news.
Welcome to 60 Seconds of Serenity with Jawanda Bryant. Your encouragement of today reads, it is not always that we need to do more, but rather that we need to focus on less, by Nathan W. Morris. Many of times we will sit and watch or even ponder the lives of others and think we need to do more. However, less is more. We do not need to do everything or even do more. We need to focus our attention on things that truly matter and delegate the rest. That is one of the best lessons the military has taught me, the power of delegation. This has been 60 Seconds of Serenity with Jawanda Bryant, military veteran and author of Danny and the Deployer miniseries.
No news is typically good news in this military life,
except on Army Wife Talk Radio.
So here is our AWN News 6 correspondent with this week's top stories.
Hi, Sarah and Marin. Here are this week's top stories. The archaic defense travel system is being prepared for replacement. The new system, called Defense Travel Modernization, or DTM, is based on a prototype that has been in development since 2018, reported Federal News Network. It is expected to be a simplified system that will integrate with DoD personnel databases, support types of travel that are unique to the military, and have the system certified with a high level of authority to operate from the Defense Information Systems Agency. The new system is expected to save 10 million labor hours per year. Read more at federalnewsnetwork.com. Last week, 25 additional health systems rolled out the MHS Genesis, announced Military Health System. This new program will create a more seamless transition for military members and their families to receive health care across installations. The goal for MHS Genesis is to consolidate health information into a single platform and provide a continuum of care from point of injury to definitive treatment at any military treatment facility worldwide, said Army Colonel Garrick Kramer, Commander, Munson Army Health Center at Fort Leavenworth in Kansas. MHS Genesis will greatly increase efficiencies for both beneficiaries and healthcare professionals through a DoD-wide unified system that will also continue into Veterans Affairs Medical Care System. They did caution that there could be a temporary increase in wait times while each location becomes more familiar with the program. However, they report that with each rollout, the transition has gone more quickly. Read more at health.mil. Recent data shows that almost half of women are failing the new Army Combat Fitness Test, reported military.com. Internal Army figures from April show 44% of women failed the ACFT, compared to 7% of men since October 1st. The fitness test is in the beta phase, so results will not count against the soldiers until March 2022. Military.com said that the highest fail rate on individual events for both males and females is the two-mile run. Males are failing at 5% and females at a 22% rate. The run is the last event in the test, completed after five other grueling events. Full failure rates broken down by event can be found online at military.com. And this week in history, on May 17, 1979, a record low temperature of 12 degrees Fahrenheit was the coldest temperature ever recorded in Hawaii on top of Mauna Kea. The Hawaiian Islands are home to 11 military installations. If you are stationed there, you can visit Mauna Kea, a dormant volcano on the Big Island. It is also the highest point in Hawaii and the second highest peak of an island on Earth, according to Wikipedia. The Mauna Kea Visitor Information Station shared that it is one of just a handful of places in the world where you can travel from sea level to 14,000 feet in about 2 hours. Mauna Kea is a sacred place for the people of Hawaii and the dwelling place of a Hawaiian god, Poliahu. In ancient times, the summit was forbidden to all but the highest chiefs and priests. Occasionally, Hawaiian royalty would make the long trek to the top. The last royal visitor was Queen Emma in 1881, who led her companions on the arduous 6-hour journey to the top to see the summit and rejuvenate herself in the sacred Waiau. Learn more at ifa.hawaii.edu. Find the link to all of our News 6 reports at armywifenetwork.com. This is your Army Wife Network News 6 correspondent, Jolene McNutt, signing out.
Thanks for those updates, Jolene. The AWN team is always grateful for your desire to bring us the most up-to-date military life news to make sure we are as informed as we can be. Well, listeners, our mission is accomplished for this episode of AWTR. We hope to see you online each Thursday at noon Eastern for our weekly Facebook Live MilSpouse Empowerment Moments. You can also subscribe to our podcasts on the podcast app of your choice and catch new episodes every Monday and Thursday. Tune in for our next full-length episode of AWTR on Monday, May 24th, for a special Memorial Day episode when Sherita interviews country pop duo Juna and Joey to chat about their song Heroes. It's going to be another empowering show.
We would also like to encourage you to follow us across all social media platforms with our handle at Army Wife Network and invite your tribe to join us as well. Our Instagram is hopping lately, and wait for it, it's really fun. Tag your friends and share this podcast. You can also leave a review on Apple Podcasts to let everyone know how Army Wife Network helps you on your military life journey. When you do, send us a screenshot and earn some in real life prizes.
Listeners, we want to be your metaphorical energy drink in this military life. We are here cheering you on no matter what military life throws your way. Engage, educate, encourage. Army Wife Talk Radio is your source for military life empowerment. This is your AWN command team signing out.
Thank you for tuning in to Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. AWTR is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to www.armywifenetwork.com to connect with all of our empowering resources. Engage, educate, encourage. AWN is your source for military life empowerment.